Obviously, this week, the main thing that we're going to discuss is going to be the big announcement that Elon started teasing earlier this week, and it ended up being the base version of the Model 3.
After all this time.
Yeah, after years of delays. Well,
maybe a year.
Since the production started, it's been a year, really, of delay, but originally it was supposed to come out even sooner than that, but that's really another story. Yeah, and with that Model 3, which is of course like a great achievement that Tesla finally released that car, it was not overshadowed, but like the big news that it is kind of got muddied up inside the how they did it, really. And I think there's a bigger story that it's still unraveling within that. Of course, I mean, a bigger story. The fact that the Model 3 starts now at $35,000, and it still looks like it's a good car too. It's like it's the $35,000 car, but Tesla didn't have to gut it in order to make it that price, right?
I mean, yeah, the interior. They even included the glass ceiling.
Yeah,
the glass roof.
Yeah, there was some stupid rumors like well back that people will keep the glass ceiling, but like put a cloth on under it or something. They didn't do that, and that's definitely good.
Yeah, I thought they would just have a metal one. I thought that would be less expensive, but I guess once you make the glass,
yeah,
the glass is not that much more expensive than metal.
Yeah, and I mean just the production changes and everything. I didn't get why it would change anything on that front. So it's mainly like a new center console, which we did not get a good look of it, like just like a quick picture from far back. So it's not the greatest look. Looks very similar, in my opinion, as the regular one. And of course, you get the cloth seat and the cloth trims on the doors. That's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I wonder how bad the stereo is going to be.
I don't think
it's going to be horrible. I mean, I think you can have a solid stereo for, you know, a reasonable price in a car. But I always feel like Tesla puts a little bit more oomph in the music than a traditional car maker.
I mean, for a while in Model S and X, it's they only have one option. They only have the top of the line option.
Yeah, so the top one was like amazing. And I got the good one in the Model 3. Everybody got the good one in the Model 3, and it's fantastic. Yeah. So I hope it doesn't go down too far. Like, I hope it's like kind of on that same level, but you know, I don't know how much you save with a slightly worse stereo.
Yeah. Of course, at the same time, they released the standard plus range, the standard range plus. Which is a great deal. And that comes with a partial premium interior, and it looks like they want to push that version, really. Like, they don't want people to buy the $35,000; they want to buy this one. But like you said, it's also a good deal, so it's not malicious in any way. You can definitely buy the $35,000 version. It's just that I think that we probably make more money on the one, because like you said, like the with the roof thing, that applies to other stuff too. Even though it's a little bit better, it's still not that much expensive to have those little niceties in there.
Yeah, and Elon specifically was pushing the $37,000 one. And you know, just a little bit more battery puts it up to what, 240 range? So
yeah, 240.
That's another 20 miles. I guess that's that's a good range between superchargers. I don't know. $2,000 seems like a good deal.
I'd like to know what kind of battery pack is in there, and the difference between the standard one, which I think we know is a 50 kilowatt hour, and this mid range one. No, not mid range. Now there's also mid range, and they're keeping the mid range too. They're keeping that pack. So now there's technically four battery pack option on the Model 3.
Yeah,
which is it more than Tesla ever had?
I think so. At least on one model. I mean, they've had like legacy ones, on the Model S. They've had
at the same time. I mean, at the same time.
Yeah, I think four at the same time is the most they've ever had.
Yeah, for a company that keeps talking about streamlining options and everything, now with like four batch pack option and some of the batch pack options are linked to some interior option, because of course, like the standard interior, you only get on the standard range pack. If you want a mid-range or a long-range pack, you absolutely have to have the premium interior. If you want the standard range plus battery pack, you only get the partial premium interior. So it's really a strange setup when you start thinking about it. It's quite complex. But at the end of the day, you have a $35,000 Model 3, which is still a great value in terms of all the features. So that's a huge deal.
Now, yeah, I mean, so a couple of things on that real quick. One, like, Tesla now blew away, like, the Model 3 at $35,000, even the base model with 220 miles, blows away any other, like, EV. You know, we were talking earlier about, like, the Leaf Plus or even a regular Leaf at a similar price, no way. Bolt, no way. You know, I guess, you know, the Audis and stuff coming out are going to be better, but they're going to be way more expensive. It's just like there's no game anymore in the lower cost, I guess, you know, $35,000 range electric vehicle market in my mind. Yeah. And then the other thing is, like, let's remember, this is a big moment. This is the final step in the original master plan. So this is like a 12 year old plan that Elon and Tesla came out with when the Roadster was originally launched, and they said, you know, they're going to do the Roadster and, you know, the very expensive sports car. They're going to do a medium priced sedan, the Model S. You know, I don't think the Model X was in the original plan, but, you know, SUVs are very popular. And then they're going to have a lower priced sedan, premium sedan, still not like a, you know, Chevy Cruze or anything, but this is it. They did it. They, you know, went from, I guess, 2008, whenever that came out, sometime in the beginning of the...
I think it's back in 2006.
Yeah, so this is a 13-year-old plan, and Tesla has been working at this for 13 years, and yesterday they finish it. Yeah. And now they have Master Plan Part 2 to work on, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, and I think the devil might have a point. How they did it, though. So people assume that the way they would do it is by production efficiencies, economies of scale, making some parts cheaper and be able to produce that car for less and pass some of those savings to customers, achieving that lower price point and mass adoption. That was how it was always sold to us by Tesla. Now, how they apparently achieved it the way it was presented to us yesterday with the blog, and then we had the press call with Elon, is that the main factor that contributed to the cost reduction here is that Tesla is moving its entire sales strategy online. The only way to buy a car now is going to be online, and that's going to result in closing stores and firing retail employees. So I think that's not the way we wanted it to happen.
No.
For a few different reasons. First off, I think Tesla handled the whole thing like badly. It felt like they used the Model 3, the release of the short range Model 3, the standard Model 3, to hide the fact that they were closing stores. They tried
as an excuse to
close them. Yeah. So that's, I think it's bad. And I say that because I know some people are going to be banned for me for saying that, but I have good reason to think that, because we were on the call with Elon. And when Elon was asked about it, he was apologetic, saying that, okay, sure. I'm sorry. If there was another way to achieve that price, I would have liked to be able to do it. And we weren't able to. But then when he was asked, like, what did it mean exactly for the employees? Because it looks like it's going to affect hundreds of employees. Like, they ask how many of them are going to be fired, if they're going to be offered other position or something. And when it was that, he was clearly irritated. And he said something like, that's not what we're here to talk about today. Which I feel is not fair, because, like, Tesla linked the price reduction to going online, sell the sales online, right?
Right. Right. And I think they didn't want to spoil the good news with the bad news. But
yeah,
if you're going to have bad news, then, you know, on the day of your good news, then you kind of have to have some numbers
Yeah, I mean, that would have been nice, right?
Well, I mean, like it sounds like there could be a wide variety of outcomes here. Like it sounds like every service center could turn into, every showroom could turn into like a service center or a gallery, and you know, only a few people lose their job, or you know, it could be like, you know, half the retail loses their jobs and there's only like 10 showrooms in the world. Like there a wide variety of things could happen still with the wording that Tesla gave out.
Yeah.
So I'm curious like what's gonna happen. I know some folks, you know, I'm here in New York. I know some folks in New York who are obviously still in the dark as of today.
Oh yeah, I've been getting tons of messages from employees like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know.
So that's not cool. It does taint the, you know, the accomplishment of hitting the $35,000 car.
Yeah, that's a bummer because like everyone is glad that Tesla finally managed to do that, but now we still have to talk about the less pleasant side of it, which is definitely that. And
it's weird that they needed to do that to get it. I mean, Elon had said like, you know, we're going to do that in like June or July. So like, what was the hurry to get the price down to $35,000? Now, I mean, obviously there's the tax rebate in the US, but like, you know, things seem, you know, they were profiting last two quarters. They have a big payment coming up, which, you know, could have knocked them out of profitability, you know, profitability quotes. But like, it just like, it doesn't really make sense. And perhaps in the back of their minds, they were like, you know, these retail stores aren't really paying off, like we had hoped or like they should, or, you know, we've already introduced Tesla to world. Everybody in the US knows who Tesla is, what they do. And, you know, somebody's going to have a neighbor or, you know, cousin or something with a Tesla. So it's not like they can't see one or drive one. So maybe that, I mean, is that, you know, the rationale? I don't know, but it just seems like such a strange thing to do. It seems short-sighted because, you know, they also have to sell Tesla energy products.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, I mean, they can probably, you know, the brand's so cool right now, they could probably justify the cost of the store by selling clothing. I mean, I'm surprised. It doesn't make sense to me yet. Like, I'm working it through my brain. I get it to an extent, but it seems short-sighted.
Yeah, and the Tesla energy part of it is a good point because Tesla justified buying SolarCity based on the fact that they were going to use their own retail network to sell energy products too. So that was they closed a ton of SolarCity sales channel in order to do that. Now they're going to close the stores too, so it's going to be just online too for energy. I mean, maybe, but it's not like the retail employees were also customer service. Like they were helping the owners, like the owners' advisors and stuff like that. And I mean, I feel like the service at Tesla is now is plummeting with Model 3s hitting the road. Now they're just completely overwhelmed and they cannot handle. I just had an horrible service experience this week with my Model 3, which got a flat tire. The roadside assistance took the car. It took Tesla 4 days to tell me that they couldn't order my tire, my winter tire that they had. They had no way to order it. They needed me to order it from another supplier and bring it to them. It makes no sense. They need 4 days to tell me that. So they slow down the whole repair of my car and the repair. I mean, it's a flat tire. I just need to order a new tire and install them on those 20-inch wheels, which is also
is it a hard to find tire? Like, could you just go to like
a Michelin tire? When I called Canadian Tire to order it, they were baffled that Tesla wasn't able to order them.
They were suppliers all have those.
Yeah, like we order those all the time. It's not like they're not hidden in a system or something. But and getting a calling Tesla's customer service in Montreal, like it took forever to get an answer. They text me like a day later on each of my texts with the service people. And I mean, Elon on the call also said that he wanted to increase service significantly and what's up. And I just got an email from Tesla about it. I didn't have time to report on it because I just literally just got it. And it looks like they are announcing a bunch of other service improvement that we're gonna body shop, in-house body shop. And I mean, it's believe it when I see it, when it does up, because they've been talking about improving service for the past 2 years in preparation for Model 3s. But it looks like it's going to be a harder situation to ramp up than the RNG thought. A few other good news, though, that came out of that announcement yesterday. The Model 3 firmware updates. Those were surprising. I think most people are going to be happy about that, because that affects every Model 3 owner since the beginning of the production. We are talking here about a range increase, really, like all rear-wheel drive, long-range backpack Model 3 getting 325 miles of range now.
Okay, so I'm kind of going to call BS on that one. You know, the EPA tested the long-range one and got 334 miles. I don't know if Tesla's doing anything besides changing the battery meter on this, because like I would always get more or around the same range on my long range Model 3 than the battery showed, which is kind of rare for an electric car, especially the way I drive. So I think, you know, the firmware upgrade on that is just going to be changing the battery meter to go to 325 instead of 310. That's my opinion.
That's gonna be a wait and see again. Once we get the upgrade, we're gonna have to get some tests if they really increase the efficiency. But the way that they presented it is that they managed to increase the efficiency of the motors, and now it's a higher range overall.
But and a higher horsepower as well, right?
Yeah, well, they not only change the efficiency of the motors, they also managed to... Well, the motors were electronically limited forever. And now that... I mean, it's got to be in the billions of miles already now with the Ontario Model 3 fleet that they got. They got billions of miles of data out of it, and they know that they feel more comfortable about increasing that electronic limits on the power output of the motors because of that data. So now, yeah, every Model 3 get a 5% more peak power, and for the Model 3 performance, it result in a new top speed of 162 miles per hour, which was what was 155 before that?
Yeah, something like that. 158, 155. So not huge, but like, you know, on the Autobahn, that'll be quite nice.
Yeah. What else? I wanted to know the timeline on that release of the firmware, but Tesla didn't get my call. Didn't took me my questions on the call. Might have been because we posted about it a little bit earlier than they wanted to, but they didn't embargo us, so it's their fault.
Yeah, and we didn't break any embargoes by posting that early.
We got accused of it a bunch, but no, we did. We didn't. We asked to be embargoed. They didn't do
it. Actually, I don't think anybody was embargoed, were they?
I don't think anybody was.
Yeah.
With that, okay, now moving on to from the Model 3 to all the price changes that happened along with that announcement. So in terms of Autopilot, we're going to start with Autopilot since it also affects new Model 3's order. And new now Model S and X orders. So Tesla debundled some features from the basic Autopilot package, which used to be known as Enhanced Autopilot. Now I think it's just Autopilot. Instead of having all the whole Enhanced Autopilot feature that we were promised, like the new summon, the auto park, the self-driving on the highway, so like navigate on Autopilot now that's known. All of those features are being moved to full self-driving package. So they're sticking with that name. A name that they killed last year because it was too confusing. Now
and controversial.
And controversial. And now they are bringing it back. They are putting the autopilot feature in it. So not even more advanced like full self-driving feature. They're putting autopilot features in it. And future update, which will include, like you reported, how did you put it? Automatic driving on city street. So basically, yeah. What the Autopilot can do now, it can only do on highway. Now it would be able to do with traffic lights and stops, so city streets. Right?
Yeah, that's what they say this year.
Yeah. I mean,
And we've seen videos of that happening as well. So it's not like this is something that we didn't really expect. What's kind of, I think, a bigger deal, at least in the short term, is the summon. And you wrote a story on that today.
Yeah, we just got some exclusive information from the Early Access Program. And it's already out there now. The all the Early Access owners have access to it if they have Autopilot with the latest software. And from 150 feet, well, I don't know, is it 23 feet right now, the limit? I think it's like something about that, 23 feet for the summon limit. But it's also limited to basically like going forward. And if you have an obstacle or two, they're going to avoid it. Now it's 150, and it's not just an obstacle or two. It's like it's going to really navigate the whole parking lot. And apparently it works. Apparently it works fine. But that's a feature, though, that Elon Musk have been saying that it's being pushed back due to some... it's being delayed due to regulatory pushbacks. So I don't know if those have changed since then. So, and Tesla was very adamant about, in the communication with the early access owners, that it's a beta feature. It's for being tested and to get feedback. It might not be the same with the wide release, so that the feature could change a lot. But if you go on electric right now, we have posted a bunch of screenshots of how it works in the app. Instead of just forward and back, you can basically tell him to come tell your car to come to your location if it's within 150 feet of it, or you can drop a pin within the hose 150 feet, and the car will go there, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of weird seeing cars without drivers driving around parking lots. Like, that's happening now.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be a little disconcerting for some people who aren't really in the know. You know, I know that when I show people hey, look, it's pulling out of the driveway without anybody in it, or out of the garage, people are usually a little bit like, this is crazy.
Yeah. And then it's just doing the equivalent of you being sitting in the car and slowly pressing the accelerator. Right. That's all it's doing. Now it would be actually like going around corner from rows of cars that in parking lot. And so, yeah.
And just to clarify, the people who are getting that, there's no remote RC feature with the app.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Because that sounds kind of cool. And that's something they mentioned previously. Although, who knows if that's going to make it to production.
I mean,
production.
It's basically the same thing. It's just that you can see your car on your phone, right?
But I think you're able to control it a little bit more, like, fine-tuned. I mean, I guess it is the same. You can just move the dot around and have it follow the dot, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how it works yet. But
well, and they also still say that my problem with that, with the version that they are testing right now, if it's what they decide to release, my problem with it is that they still say, because like they do with the current version of Summon, that you need to monitor the car at the wrong time and you need to have to press the button at all time. So as soon as you let go of the button, the car stops. So it's your job to monitor it. But then like it removed the actual use case of like getting out of a shop or something and your car is parked and having it come to you. I don't know. I posted the article and I look at the comments, and a bunch of guys apparently were pretty excited with some very narrow use cases. So who knows? Could still be a useful feature. All right. Model S and X got a bunch of different changes this week. A lot of lower prices, so it's good for that. But
significantly lower prices.
Yeah, significantly lower. And we're just going to talk U.S. now. I'm still investigating what's going on in Europe, because it makes no sense in Europe that the prices right now. If you're in Europe or you see those crazy prices, order them right now, because and Tesla should have to honor those prices. And maybe they're wrong, because
it's like 10,000 euros, right?
Come again?
The Model S dropped 10,000 euros, didn't it?
Yeah, that's in the U.S. That I think is right. Yeah. But in Europe, sometimes it's like 30,000 euros that it dropped. Or the equivalent of 30,000 euros, so like 20-something thousand euros. So sometimes it's cheaper in Europe than they are in the U.S. with that.
Yeah,
with, that's... taxes.
That's probably going to get reverted.
Yeah, it looks like Tesla almost like forgot to put the taxes on the website or something for it, because they have to in Europe and they don't have to in the US. I don't know. We're still looking into it. But yeah, if you're in Europe right now and you're listening, go take a look and maybe you can get like a very cheap Model S, because I assume that Tesla is going to have to honor those prices if you can just send the money right away. Yeah, but in the US, which we assume are the right prices, I would think so, Tesla changed a bunch of things. And they changed a bunch of things just a month after changing a bunch of things again. So that's what I don't like about Tesla, where it looks like they are all over the place in terms of the pricing. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. Last month, they released a software lock battery pack, which looked like great value and everything. And now, a month later, it's already gone. What they replaced it with is now they have a standard range pack, which I assume is not a software lock pack, though Tesla didn't want to confirm it, because it's much lower than the software lock that we're talking about. It's 270 miles of range for the Model S. So that's the equivalent of when Tesla was selling the 85 kilowatt hour pack. It was also getting to 270 miles of range. So I assume it's a similar size pack, unless there was some efficiency gains. And it starts at $79,000 before incentives. Pretty good price. Yeah. Then you have the long range battery pack, which is basically the Model S 100D, which
they were selling before.
Come in?
Which they were selling before.
Yeah, they were selling like 2 months ago. Then last month, it became the Model S extended range. So if you compare it to the Model S extended range, which at that point was $93,000, and it got a price drop last month to $93,000. It was more expensive than that. Now it's $83,000. So within 2 months, they managed to drop it like $11,000 or $12,000 of the price of that car. And that $10,000 now is apparently being justified just for the cost of selling the car online, which is very surprising. And yeah, the Model 3 Performance also getting a big price cut. Now it's starting at $99,000. You can get a Model S Performance for $99,000 now.
That's a fast car for under 100 grand.
Yeah, it used to be $112,000. Of course, that's before Ludacris. You still need to pay $15,000 for the Ludacris, which basically just changes your acceleration time from 3 seconds to 60 miles per hour to 2.4. $50,000 for that 0.6 second faster. And apparently that's a software lock feature now. So you could technically just buy the $99,000 car and later on get that ludicrous upgrade. Of course, now the autopilot changes that we just talked about also apply to the Model S. So you can get the autopilot base feature for just $3,000. Get those cruise control, like that highway driving, autonomous highway driving assist package, basically for is it $2,000 less than it was? But you won't get those auto park features in the summer and everything like that. For Model X, the software lock version is also gone, but they are not replacing it with a standard battery pack. So you just have the long range version right now, which is, of course, again, the Model X 100D. This version is also getting a pretty significant price drop from $96,000 to $88,000.
That's big.
Yeah, that's also a pretty good price for the Model X 100D. A very good price.
I mean, Tesla just dropped prices across the board.
Yeah.
Like, significantly.
Yeah.
I mean, did they have a battery breakthrough, or were they getting kind of too fat margin? Not too fat margins, but wide enough margins where that they can do this and still make some money? Or are they expecting to, you know, with the increased demand of the $35,000 Model 3, maybe the battery production scale makes it possible that all these vehicles can be sold at a lower price?
Well, technically that doesn't make sense if the Model S and X are still getting their batteries from somewhere else,
right?
Which is what we know so far. And I mean, if any of that was true, I would have liked Tesla to just come out and say it, because that would have made more sense. Like, I don't have any problem with the price drop if there was some efficiency gain, but like there wasn't with the Model 3 Performance when they came out with it. Doesn't look like there's one here either. They are only talking about online sales going away. So I think, like you said, the margin looks like they might just be willing to take a bigger hit on their margins, which sounds like the demand is down, might be down for those cars.
At least in the U.S.
At least in the U.S., yeah. Well, and around the world, too, if those $30,000 price drops are real.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that stuff last week? Ooh, I might have not have opened all my articles here. Sorry. So I'm lost for a second. Oh, yeah. Another important thing that came out of the that call with that press call for the announcement is that Elon said, because the stock price dropped after the announcement. But you cannot all attribute it to the fact that people were disappointed with the Model 3 standard pack or that Tesla is slashing some retail jobs. Because he also said that now he's pretty sure that they won't be profitable during the first quarter of 2019. And previously he said that if they are profitable, it would be like a slight profit. So now he's just like basically said it won't be. And we already knew that cash flow is going to be tight in Q1. The profit will be tight from a bunch of one-time payments. That's what he said. And then also like the introduction and the launch in Europe, it's a bigger investment at first. And then there's also, in terms of cash flow, there's $1 billion going away from that big loan repayment that they have to do. I think it's today actually. Yeah, I think it was March 1st. So Tesla's cash position is probably about $1 billion smaller today. And still on Tesla stock, I think it's worth mentioning because it was a big story earlier this year before all that craziness with the Model 3. The SEC is going after Musk over his tweet settlement that they had over the take private deal. Last year, which, if you guys remember, it included a clause where if Elon was about to tweet about something that could be material to Tesla and basically changes the stock price, he had to get approval from the board or from like a committee at Tesla or something. And apparently he's not doing that for a specific tweet that they didn't like, which was a tweet where Elon said that, he said that this is going to produce 500,000 cars this year.
And next year, I thought.
This year, 2019.
It was 2019, yeah. Okay.
And then
he maybe that's why they're firing everybody and lowering the costs, because Elon has to make that tweet real.
That's really the idea. But that's the thing. So the SEC asked the judge to hold Musk in contempt of his settlement because of that tweet, because he said no, that's new information, so they cannot release that. But 4 hours after that tweet, Elon corrected it, saying that what he meant was a 500,000 production rate at the end of the year, which is something that they already announced, because with where they want to be with the Model 3 between Fremont and Shanghai, it's going to be 10,000 a week, so 500,000 a year. But so he corrected that. Still, they decided to ask the judge to hold him in contempt. But then if you look back to just 2 weeks prior to that, when he was on the conference call for the analysts, for the earnings, for the fourth quarter's earnings, he was asked about his prediction for the guidance for production this year. And he gave a 350,000 to 500,000 guidance. So that 500,000 guidance wasn't completely new. Though, of course, going from a 350,000 to 500,000 range to just 500,000, there's a big difference still. So, but I mean, my point with that is that so Tesla lost a bunch of like Tesla stock, they didn't even move from that or like marginally. But when the SEC said that they're gonna hold Musk in contempt, then the stock dropped a lot. And of course, the goal of the SEC here is to avoid manipulation of the market. So they're basically saying that Elon was manipulating the market because he released that information, that material information, without any knowledge from Tesla. That's clearly not the case. That was not what Musk was doing. He was clearly not trying to manipulate the market. He was just answering a question on Twitter. And he might have misspoke a little bit on the question, and he corrected it quickly. So I think the SEC looks completely ridiculous. You're going after Musk, going after Tesla over something like that. And I always thought that Elon was a little bit harsh with the SEC, with like this no respecting, they are working for the shorts and things like that. I still don't think they're working for the shorts. I just think that they suck. Like they just, they're not good at what they do. So you have a corporate like government job and it's not that exciting. It's a lot more exciting than going after Musk and going after like an actual pump and dump thing in the penny stock market or something.
That's true. And if you look at the story of Tucker, the car company in the 50s, that, you know, the last startup that almost made it, that thing was squashed by the SEC and a bunch of BS. So there is precedent for the SEC.
So do you think they're doing the same thing now with Tesla? Is that
what No, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. The oil companies might be bribing somebody. Like, let's get paranoid and put on our tinfoil hats.
Yeah.
Lots of things could be happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
It does seem like BS in this case. Like the other one where he's like funding secured. Okay, that's like, and the market moved on that.
But I still don't think that he was trying to manipulate the market. I honestly think that he was excited about the idea of taking Tesla private, and he felt like he had the funding secured, so he said that. So it's still not manipulation. I think SEC is just wrong to go after him, to like put any resources to go after Elon, because he's not. He seems like a valuable target, but he's not. At worst, he's an idiot. He's not like actively trying to manipulate the market. He's not an idiot. Of course, he's a brilliant guy, but he's doing idiot things like everyone does sometimes.
Right. Or I think at the time it was said that he was trying to impress his girlfriend, which...
Oh, with the 420 thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so what's... And I think you're alluding to this. What's interesting is like... Elon's statement didn't move the market at all. Like you can look at the price of the stock before and after the tweet, nothing changed. But when the SEC announced that they were going after Elon, the stock dropped like a bunch. So it's funny because, or, you know, ironic, I guess, or whatever the word is, when the SEC is going after Elon for manipulating the market, they are actually manipulating the market when they do that. And they know that. They know as soon as they, you know, find him in contempt, or say that, you know, he's in contempt or whatever, that's going to drop the price of the stock. They know that. So it's funny because, or not funny, but it's something because they're actually doing what they're accusing Elon of doing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just definitely a worse situation because it's like a law enforcement type of organization. You'd think that they'd be more aware of that stuff. But moving on, very interesting comment I thought from the CEO of Volkswagen. Very interesting comment that he said about Tesla. So we're still on Tesla here. I'm going to read you the comment, which looks like maybe was lost in translation a little bit. But anyway, Hebert Diess, the CEO of Volkswagen. I think Tesla is doing a good job. They don't have to care about the legacy. They don't have to care about the next generation of gasoline and motors. And so they can really focus on the future. It's an advantage. So what's interesting about this comment is that if you really break it down, what he's saying here is that Tesla don't have a gas-powered car business, so they can only focus on electric. Okay, but in relation to them, what it means is that we have a gas-powered car business. It's where most of our profit are coming from, where most of our revenue are coming from. And even though we know that EVs are the future, we cannot invest in them as much as we want because it would affect our gas-powered car business, which is bad for us. That's an advantage that Tesla has over us. That's basically one of the rare occasions where you see an automaker admits that they are not going as fast as they could on electric vehicles because they have to protect their gas-powered car business, which is something that, of course, like everyone knew, but...
Yeah, and it extends to like the dealerships where if you go into a dealer, they're certainly not going to recommend an electric car. It extends to every single automaker. So like for instance, Chevy or Hyundai, you know, have very nice electric vehicles. But if you go into a dealer, they'll never recommend it. And that, you know, because those things aren't coming back. The day I took my Chevy Bolt out of the dealership, I have not gone back once. And you know, if you buy a Chevy Cruze, you're coming back for oil changes, brake repairs, tune-ups, all kinds of other stuff. So the dealers aren't on board. And to switch the dealers over is going to be a huge problem. But, you know, this guy, he's kind of saying what everybody kind of knows, and that Tesla has a great advantage in that they just don't even have to think about that whole legacy aspect of the car industry.
They can just make their car as good as they can and see if they sell or not, which they do. I think it's an important story, so that's why I wrote it. But it's something to think about going forward when they release electric cars. And if you see one, it looks like, you could have done a better job with that. Back of my mind, even though it might not be true, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, are they making that car shitty so that they don't want to sell it? I think that's less. That's been the case for a while with the compliance car that they're. But I think it's less so the case now these days, right? And speaking of one of those that it's clearly not the case here, the Nissan Leaf Plus. That's clearly a full vehicle program that Nissan's trying to make money from. So that I can get on board with. Last week we went down to San Diego, myself and Jamie, to test drive the new Leaf Plus. Jamie wrote the articles, and I suggest you go read his first drive article. It's very good. But I'm going to give you my impression real quick also, since I was with him during that drive. And, I mean, we already reported on all those details. Seth, I think you were at the launch. That was in CES, the launch, right?
No, I think I'm going to launch you there.
Oh, you cannot hear me anymore?
Yep, you're back.
I'm back? Okay. Now, I was just saying that you were there at the launch of the car back in CES, right?
Yeah, so we didn't get to drive it, but we got to get inside, take pictures. I mean, it's the exact same Leaf that everybody else knows. The one difference was like the range on it was like 200 something miles instead of 100 something.
Yeah, so the point basically is from my drive versus you just seeing the car in person and being already familiar with the previous version of the Leaf. It's not that big of an upgrade. I mean, there's the pack upgrade, which is significant, and you get more range with the 62 kilowatt hour pack. What is it, the EP estimate that they gave?
226.
Yeah, 226, yeah. Which is a big upgrade of the 168 and 158 that they were 150 that they were offering before. Everything else is basically the same. The motor is, from my understanding, the same. Everyone was saying, like, yeah, you have a bigger motor and everything. I think it's the same motor. It's just that now with the bigger battery pack, they can get more out of the battery pack. And that was the limiting factor for the motor. So now they can get a little bit more out of the motor. I mean, I'm not that big of a Leaf driver. Like, I've driven like maybe like 300 miles on the Leaf total over the years. And I've driven maybe like 150 on the last version of the Leaf. And that was like maybe 8 months ago or something. So like, maybe my frame of comparison was not as great as it could be, but I didn't feel that much of a difference in terms of like how fast it was. It's definitely heavier too. So that's compensated a little bit, but read Jamie's full review, because he goes into more details on that. And he himself felt like he felt it a little bit pippier. So good for that. You have a new screen. You didn't realize that, Seth, when you were inside the interior of the car? 3 inches more, I think.
Yeah.
Big difference. The charging. The charging is the other big upgrade. Now you have 100 kilowatts CHAdeMO charging.
But where can you... Did you guys find a 100 kilowatt CHAdeMO station?
Nope. We did not.
Yeah.
And we were in California, unless Mecca of EVs in the US. But, and I mean, we even asked for, like, they give us at least like full charge cycle of the car so that we can share that to our with our readers, because it's one thing to say that you can charge up to 100 kilowatts, but then we want to know how long you can hold it and everything. And we know that also with the fact that there is no active cooling with the battery pack of the Leaf and now the Leaf Plus, we thought that maybe that could have an effect on just how long you can hold that. But they did share instead the, what did they share? The time that it would take from 0 to 80, but again, that depends on a ton of different variants, different factors. 40 minutes to get to 80%. Oh, no, that's on the 50 kilowatts. 40. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. No, yeah, it's the same with. So it's the same time. No, it's 5 minutes more to get to 80% with the Leaf Plus on 100 kilowatts than it is to get to 80% on the 50 kilowatts for the normal Leaf with the 40 kilowatt hour. Because by the way, the normal Leaf is still for sale with the 40 kilowatt hour. And all right. I really recommend going to Jamie's article if you want all the detail about the experience itself and everything. But at the end of the day, the big news here is that, like, okay, now Leaf has a 200 miles. Nissan has a 200 mile Leaf. And the big question was how much it's going to cost, though, because then you need to be competitive with the Model 3, you need to be competitive with the Bolt, and so on. They didn't release that when we did the drive and everything, so I was disappointed about that because, like, I wanted to see where it fits on the market. I already driven the Leaf, I know what it is. But today they did release finally the pricing. Didn't have time to read the full article yet, but
I think it was like 36,550.
$36,550 is now the base price for the Leaf Plus, the Leaf Plus with the 62-kilowatt electric, which is good.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that's a much bigger battery but than the Model 3, but actually the range is pretty close.
Yeah.
Base price. So, I mean, like for me, for my money, sadly, I would probably opt for a Tesla pretty handily. But there's a lot of people who would prefer a more traditional type of car, you know, with a company that's a little bit more stable, and a more familiar driving experience instead of having the tablet display in the middle. So it's not like these aren't going to be sold at all, but I think, you know, there's not going to be a lot of wind in Nissan sales after, you know, the Model 3 came out right before this thing's hitting their street.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that I think they're going to still have plenty of sales. I think there's plenty of people that just don't like Tesla for whatever reason. But people in the know, though, like people like that know like how it is to drive a Tesla, anyone that drives a Model 3, basically, with a little asterisk that we haven't seen the base Model 3 in person yet. What we know from it, from yesterday's announcement so far, looks good. Everything looks fine. But I'd like to review one. We might be able to do that in the future. Not right now. Yeah, I need to talk to you about that quickly. So that too. Off the mic. So if everything is as advertised for the Model 3 base version, if someone is really on the market for a car and decide to test drive... Well, no, you cannot test drive the Model 3 anymore. That's right.
I mean, you can, until they shut down the stores. I don't think they have closed signs on the stores today, I think. It's probably a process.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
But eventually not. Anyway, yeah. In an hypothetical scenario where someone would be test driving, would be on the market for a car, test driving both the Leaf Plus and the Model 3, I think they're going to come out with the Model 3 like 90% of the time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it's kind of a shame for Nissan. Like, it would have been nice if they'd come out with this car 3 years ago or something, 2 years ago, whenever the Bolt came out. Because it's, you know, it offers a lot more room than the Bolt. It's a kind of like a more normal looking car. I guess the Bolt's very, very compacted. I like it. I still like the Bolt. I just,
Design is everyone sees it differently, but
right.
I mean, for my money, like the design of the Model 3 is like if the Leaf is 6 out of 10. The Model 3 is definitely like a 9 or a 10.
What's the Bolt?
Bolt is probably like a 5 in my opinion.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
Especially the interior. I don't mind the exterior of the Bolt, but I get in the interior and I feel like it's plastic everywhere. And I'm like, it's still a $40,000 car.
And I feel like Chevy really could have done some upgrades over the last like 4 years. Like they released that in 2016, or now, you know, in 2019. And they've done pretty much nothing except introduce a fluorescent shock color.
Yeah.
And
golf, you know, Tesla made, not golf ball, but like a tennis ball like color.
Tennis ball color, I guess. Or, you know, highlighter. I feel like GM really isn't putting a lot of, I mean, because we know they're losing money on everyone they sell.
Yeah,
so
they're
making enough to clear their ZEV budget, and kind of that's about it, which is really sad because it's actually a really great car.
But in that mix, there are other cars now too. There's the Niro EV, like that I reviewed a few weeks ago, which I really liked, and I really like the Nissan Leaf Plus too. But though we did, it was how did he do it? How did he do it? Because they have those SV SL. Anyway, it was a top of the line one that we did test, which I think was over $43,000, something like that. And at that price point, at $43,000. I'm jumping on a mid-range Model 3 with the premium interior any day of the week.
Right.
So if you once you get into the options and everything, that's when Tesla just passes everyone. Though for that $43,000 in the Leaf, you do get the Pro Pilot, I think.
Oh.
And that's another $3,000 for on the Model 3.
Did you guys try the Pro Pilot on it?
I did the last time too, so it wasn't like my first experience with it. I wasn't impressed by the improvement over the years, so it's still pretty much the same. It's decent. It's decent at what it does. It's not. I don't think it's at the level of Autopilot, but it's not that far behind, I think.
All right.
Speaking of Autopilot, real quick, we can mention that we just posted an article. We didn't talk about it because we literally posted it as we were starting the podcast. But there was a tragic accident in Florida earlier today, which we don't know for a fact yet that Autopilot is involved, but it looks likely because it's very reminiscent of the famous now fatal Autopilot infamous accident with the longtime Tesla fan. What was his name? Joshua Brown. If you guys remember back in 2016, where he went with his Model S under a trailer, which sheared off all the roof of his car and he died on the spot. Something very similar with the Tesla Model 3 happened in California, in Florida earlier today, where almost exactly the same situation, though I think they were like in the same direction and the truck went one way and that left the trailer in the highway for a second. And so the Model 3 was behind and it ran into it. And Tesla sent us a comment saying that they are deeply saddened and everything. And they are working on with the authorities. They have no comment about the pilot yet, but the car went half a kilometer, continued driving for half a kilometer after the crash. So it looked likely that he was on autopilot and the autopilot couldn't detect the truck. And neither could he, apparently, or he couldn't react in time.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, like, I hate to speculate because obviously, you know, this is somebody's life here, but I wonder if he wasn't on autopilot and he would have seen the truck, but didn't, you know,
that's a big question, like, right?
You know, he would have ducked down. You know,
if you survive one of those accidents like ducking down, I mean, that's some kind of like death defying things.
Yeah. And like, I'm not trying to make this funny or anything, but like, you know, that's.
The other big question, of course, like, I mean, autopilot, if autopilot is involved, it's significant if it's the second time that something like that happened. But Those, you called them, you sent me an email about them, like this side under right accident, they call them when you go under a trailer like that. Apparently, in everywhere else except the US, there's some kind of standard with you get blocks, something to block the. Basically, you, there's no way to go under the truck. It's blocked to go under the trailer. So you're still crashing to the truck, but you get all that crumpled zone from the front of the car before it just destroy your roof. So you're still gonna get banged up, but your chance of dying are reduced significantly. So I mean, I think that might be the bigger story here. Why the hell we don't have that in the U.S. yet?
Yeah, and the other thing is that, like, sadly, these things happen quite often. Yeah. One source I was looking at, it's like one of these happens in the US every day. So it's like pretty common.
Yeah. But if autopilot cannot detect them, that's also like that's also an issue. Responsible. Hopefully this time, because the last time what happened when a crash had that with the original one is that everyone was reporting that that was a self-driving crash and everything. It's not a self-driving crash. The driver was still responsible. He should have been looking and everything. If it was autopilot, which we don't know for sure yet, but I think Tesla still need to work on making that you can detect those kinds of things. All right, we're gonna leave you on that, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening and watching. Thanks a lot for our YouTube subscriber or Patreon supporters and our iTunes and whatever podcast app you're using subscriber to. I'm going to see you at the same place, same time next week. Bye-bye.